Hello, and welcome to The Parrot Unbound. This is Grace, the podcast editor here at Portsmouth Public Library. In this latest installment of Blanket Fort Broadcasts, our quarantine recording series, we are going to be hearing from Andrew, Catherine, Mary Jo, and Polina, who are all avid adult readers of teen and young adult literature. They're going to be book-talking print novels, graphic novels, audiobooks, and more. So if this is a genre you've been looking to get into and don't know where to start, or you're looking for fresh recommendations, we've got you covered. All of the titles mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes wherever you get your podcasts, and they're also on audioboom.com and cityofportsmouth.com/library. Thanks for listening, and as always, happy reading.
Hello, everyone. We are four adults who love reading young adult fiction, and we are excited to share some of our favorite books with you. My name's Catherine. I'm a youth services librarian. Also with me today is Andrew, who works in youth services, Mary Jo, who is a circulation library assistant, and Polina, who works in special collections. And we're each going to just talk about a few of our favorite young adult titles. I have two historical fiction titles I wanted to share. The first one is called Refugee, and that is by Alan Gratz. It tells three different stories of three different teens, each in a different time period in history. So there's Joseph. He is a Jewish boy in 1930s in Germany, so World War II. And then there's Isabel, who is living in Cuba in 1994. And then there's Mohammed, who is living in Syria in 2015. So each of these teens is in a time in history where there's a lot of unrest happening in their country, and they all have to flee for various reasons. So they are all tied together by this common thread of being a refugee. The audiobook is really good. I would highly recommend that. There's a different narrator for each character, which really brings the story to life. And I think it's a really great example of how historical fiction can still be really relevant to the world we are living in today. Anyone want to add anything?
Well, I love that you highlighted a refugee story, because I think that a lot of adults are interested in that subject too. It's like something that's very much at the forefront of people's minds. I read a graphic novel that kind of reminds me of it called Escape from Syria by Samia Kalab. And it's about how her and her family flee Syria and relocate to Canada. As an adult, it was also really eye-opening to like see it through the eyes of a teen. It's already one of like the most tumultuous times in someone's life, and now you throw this on top of it.
Yeah, that book I've been meaning to read since it came out. I haven't read it yet, so I'll have to definitely check that one out.
And I think the art is by Jackie Roche and Mike Freyheit.
The cover is beautiful too. I'm looking at it now and it's really striking and beautiful.
The next book I wanted to share is called Lovely War. It's by Julie Berry. And she has written a lot for young adults, a lot of historical fiction. It was, I would say, probably in my top five favorite books from last year. So the story is narrated by the Greek gods, Ares and Aphrodite, and they are on trial by Aphrodite's husband for having an affair. So in order to get out of trouble, Aphrodite is trying to tell the story to her husband about these two different couples in World War I. So there's Hazel and James, and then there's Aubrey and Colette, and they just have a lot of things going on. World War I, trying to fall in love. Aubrey and Colette are an interracial couple, which has its own challenges as well. The writing style is really lyrical, it's romantic, and it's just a really interesting structure to have the love story framed by the gods telling it, so there's a little bit of fantasy in there. And I think adults who enjoy historical romances will have a really hard time putting it down. And I would also say you want to have tissues nearby because it's kind of sad.
Fascinating. What is the title again?
Lovely War.
I'm putting it on my TBR list because that sounds extremely up my alley.
The audiobook is on Libby, and the audiobook is amazing. So Aubrey is a classical pianist, And there's lots of added music in the audiobook, which also I think helps bring the story to life.
Would you say that people who enjoyed the most recent Wonder Woman movie would enjoy this?
Yes. Great comparison. Todd, thinking about historical fiction, I just feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention Ruta Sepetys, who is self-proclaimed crossover author. So she writes for young adults, but so many adults read her books. They are all historical fiction. They're all super well-researched and very well-written. Her first two, Salt of the Sea and Between Chains of Gray, are actually based on her family's history in World War II. And then she has Out of the Easy is set in the 1950s in New Orleans. And her most recent one just came out is Fountains of Silence. And that was set in the late 50s, but in Madrid. They're all, I just highly recommend all of them. I think they are all available on Overdrive.
For adults who haven't done a novel in verse yet, would you have a suggestion for a first one they should check out from like a teen collection or the author you've mentioned already?
I would pick either Long Way Down or Poetex by Elizabeth Acevedo. And I think Mary Jo is going to talk about one of her other books. Again, I recommend the audiobook because the authors of both of them narrate them.
I would also recommend that they pick up one of the books by Kwame Alexander. I just find his books really accessible and really, it's really real.
Andrew, do you want to do your books?
Yeah, sure. My first book is a graphic novel that actually would be a great read-along or next read after your first selection, because it has to do with, well, not refugee, but it has to do with like displacement. They Called Us Enemy by George Takei. George Takei is an actor who is most famous for his time as Captain Sulu on Star Trek. He was also one of the first openly gay actors who came out. He's done like huge, huge things for the Pacific Asian community as well as the gay community. And he released this autobiography about when he was a child. It's about when he and his family, who are of Japanese descent, were put into internment camps when America made everybody of Japanese descent go into these camps on the West Coast. So I found it to be like, I found it to be alarming, the amount that I didn't know about that slice of our history. And I think that people who are the same age as me or older might not have gotten a lot of that information in school either. This is of interest for adults in particular because it's an adult talking about his childhood experience and his teen experience of trying to get his parents to talk about that time. I think George Takei was only like 5 or 6 when he was in the camps.
Really young. Yeah, he was like maybe, I think 5 or 6 sounds right.
So he didn't really process it while he was going through it. He started processing it when he was a teenager. And every night he and his father would sit after dinner and have discussions about different topics. George would always try to get his father to talk about that time. So we're getting it almost third person. George didn't even really get a lot. He doesn't even remember a lot of this. This is based on what his parents remembered, what it was like for families back then. It was just a really interesting look into that experience. It definitely reminded me of Escape from Syria in that it's a family that's sticking together. All you have is your family with you. You're in a new place. You're totally don't know what your resources are, who's fighting for you. It was scary. I flew through it. It's such a fast read. I would say this is a contender for going either way too, because it's one of those books where it could be an Alex Award because technically you could put it in an adult collection very easily, but then you could put it in a teen collection and you want adults to read it too. So that's the main reason I added it.
And the Alex Award is adult books recommended for teens, right?
Yes. So like when I first read it, I really wasn't sure where it would end up. We had added it to the teen section and I think it'll do really well in there. I think it'll hit the same crowd that really enjoyed Hey Kiddo by Jarrett Krasoka. Similarly, like an autobiography graphic novel that is about a serious subject, but the serious subject is easier to get through for me when it's a graphic novel, because first of all, you're reading less. You're you're using different parts of your brain. Visually, it's more interesting. It was a really enjoyable way to like get through something that could be really hard to read. Oh, and the great thing about this book as well is it's available on Libby or Hoopla. You can download it, and it's also in, I think, every single department downstairs, like teen and adults. So,
yeah, it's really a powerful read. I read it. It's very quick, but holy cow, is it pack a punch. It really put it into perspective that, you know, this is something that is still with us today. And doesn't he connect it to today's world at the end of the book?
Yeah, he talks about the connections between what Japanese Americans experienced back then to what people throughout history have experienced when the government gets scared and racism prevails, basically. We were maybe given a few lines about it in history class, but nobody ever told me that Japanese Americans were forced to work on their farms until the day that they had to go to the camps. And that once they left those farms, that farm equipment and farmland was sold to other people.
I think for parents, a great book to read with their kids. Tons in there to unpack.
So the other book that I want to talk about is called Witchy. It's a newer graphic novel that is available on Hoopla right now. It's about this girl who lives on an island in a nation where people have magical powers, and their magical powers are based on how long their hair is. So these people have magic powers based on how long their hair is, but if your hair is too long, the government comes and kills you because you're too strong and you might overthrow them.
Get a haircut.
Yes. So interesting about that, it's like taboo to cut your hair because while you don't want to be too strong to be killed, you also are viewed as weak if your hair is too short.
Do you like just cut it to like a mid-length?
They never talk about that. That is a good idea, though. There's a little twist that I won't say, but let's just say that it's a really interesting story that I think adults will enjoy because it reminds me of a lot of those cartoons and stories we read in like the 90s and the early aughts. Avatar Last Airbender, a newer one is the Five World series or Amulet. These stories of someone who is fighting back against like an empire or something and has like innate magic in them. I feel like that's something that is timeless. It's very much an anime adjacent or manga adjacent book because that magical element of hair, there's a lot of hairography, if you will, where people are like, "Asha," and they turn really like dramatically and their hair goes like crazy. And I just felt like it had that element of escapism that we're all looking for right now as well. Throw yourself into a totally different magic world and just strap in for a ride. It's going to be great.
It's fantastic. And the use of color is really, really well done in that book. When you're talking about like the hair, throwing the hair back, isn't there glitter? I think it's like glitter that goes with it. It's delightful.
Yes, there's a lot of moments of style. One kind of teen but adult adjacent graphic novel that's similar to it, I'd say, is maybe Zodiac Star Force. When you're talking about the colorful nature of this graphic novel, Mary Jo, I think of Zodiac Star Force. I think of Gem and the Holograms, an all-ages comic. I kind of think of The Wicked and the Divine, which is an adult graphic novel series.
I love The Wicked and the Divine.
Definitely worth a read. Actually, Catherine, your book, I think it was called Lovely War. Was that the one about the Greek gods?
Yes.
So Wicked and Divine, it's another one of those ones that is an adult book, but could be an Alex Award winner for teen appeal because it follows the story of this pantheon of gods from all different pantheons throughout the world who are reborn in the bodies of teenagers every 100 years. It's like a different pantheon every 100 years. Basically, they become these like superstars, and through their music or their art, they recharge the world's creativity, and then they die. They have absolute power for like 2 years, and then they die. And that's the trade-off. doesn't have much of a romance element, so it would be a hit or miss recommendation for Lovely Wool.
It's a mystery element though, because like the whole plot comes from the fact that someone is killing them before their time, right?
Yes. Yep, exactly. It's very colorful too, so someone who liked that Wic Div series would probably enjoy the aesthetic of witchy and the content of Lovely War.
Do you have any other you want to talk about, Andrew, or should we?
I think I am good.
Okay.
Stellar. Hello, I'm Polina. I work in reference services and special collections. When I get a chance, I like to read YA books. These are just a couple that I've really enjoyed. I loved I'll Give You the Sun by Jandy Nelson. It's a story of two siblings, Jude and Noah, and it's told in alternating viewpoints. The stories happen 3 years apart. So you get the past storyline from Noah's perspective and the present storyline from Jude's perspective. Noah is like the more shy one in his storyline, and he has a hard time like fitting in with the neighborhood kids. He's just started a relationship with a boy in the neighborhood and doesn't want to tell his family. And Jude is very popular, but doesn't have the same artistic talent that Noah has and is incredibly jealous of it. And then in the switch storyline, when we hear from Jude's perspective, it's so hard to even recognize her and Noah. She's at this prestigious art school, but failing at everything. And she thinks that her mom is haunting her and ruining all of her art projects. It's really lyrical writing. And Jandy Nelson's first book is called The Sky is Everywhere. And when I read that initially, I couldn't put it down. Her writing is like kind of poetic, but it's definitely it's not in verse or anything, but it sounds like it could be. So what drives the plot forward is trying to figure out what happened, what event severed the connection between these two siblings who are so close in the earlier storyline and so distant. And it's both like seeing the fracture happen at the end of the first storyline and figuring out what's going there, and also in the second storyline that's told from Jude's perspective, seeing their family heal and come back together. I think what adults will like is the lyrical writing. It's beautiful. It's not pared down at all. And also, it's a lot about family and sibling relationships. There are like romantic relationships and important things like that. But I think the central element of the sibling relationship is something that lots of adults will really like.
I listened to the audiobook. Shocking, I know. I agree with you. I thought it was really beautifully written. And the audiobook has two different narrators, one for each character, which I really liked.
Yeah, it also covers a broad range of subjects. It covers death and grief and jealousy, sexuality. There's a broad range of subjects, something for everyone. I think I'll move on to my second pick then, which is Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. It's told from six different perspectives and six different... I like a good alternating perspective. I can't quit them. The reason I selected this book is because it's full of magic, and I love a good high fantasy and just fantasy story. It has a lot of fantasy elements without having like the whole elves situation, and it's set in like a turn of the century environment, but in a land where magic is something that they all live with every day, and they don't necessarily have all of the electricity and all of the things that we have. This teen leader of a gang, he's maybe like 18, 19 years old, is hired by the merchant council in the city to get a scientist from prison in a different country. And this group of teens has to, it doesn't sound that good when I'm saying it aloud, because there's so much happening that even describing it escapes me. It's a heist.
Is it like a magic heist?
It is a magical heist. One of the characters is Nina Zenik, and she's Ravkin, which is like a Russia stand-in country magic user. And she can like drop people's pulses or heal them. And it's called the Small Sciences. And that sort of manipulation of fabric or manipulation of like human flesh and being able to drop the pulses of people, being able to move water or elements in that sort of way. That's the way that magic presents itself in these books. Those are the forms that it takes. the users compare it more to science than to like full-on elf magic. But also because they have this power, there's this other country, Fjerda, which is seeking to literally kill all of the magic users. There's like so much world building that happens immediately that I'm struggling to convey. If you like the clashing personalities and just insane plots that you think have failed, obviously, and then you get the wool pulled out from under your feet at the last second when everything is revealed and you find out what actually went down. And because of the six alternating perspectives, you're able to like feel that you know what's going on, but every time you see what's actually happened in each separate part, it's like a new twist and a new turn, and it's very exciting. And there's an entire other trilogy that the same author, Leigh Bardugo, wrote that explores the Ravkin army and how their like magic users came to be and that sort of thing. You can read Six of Crows and its sequel, Crooked Kingdom, without reading those very easily.
It's kind of more like an enriching sort of side quests situation. Yeah.
I think it was like supposed to be a side quest, but I think the characters are much more compelling than the ones who are in the original trilogy. The plot is not like a war plot. It's more of a quick jaunt sort of plot. Also, they've been making a television show out of it.
How about that?
Unless, you know, everything that's been happening has delayed that in any way.
Characters, I also like that they're a very diverse cast of characters. It's like one of them, I think, has a disability. One of them is plus size. They're all really well drawn.
There are countries that are like allegorical for Asian or African countries. It's set in an entirely different world, and we have characters from literally everywhere. And because Kerch is a port city, it makes sense that they're all there. It's very good. It's one of my faves. And I like a good practical magic.
Let's see, anything else to add, Polina? Okay. Hi, I'm Mary Jo. I am circulation assistant on the main floor. You may see me at the front desk. So the first one I'm going to talk about is called One of Us is Lying. It's written by Karen M. McManus. This is an award winner and a mystery if you are fans of mysteries. Very twisty, turny, really tight plotting. It will definitely keep you guessing. It's also a great entrance point into reading YA as an adult. Just a lot of fun. The murder mystery was sold to me as The Breakfast Club meets Murder, which is exactly what it is. Five kids that are similar to The Breakfast Club. You have the smart kid, the beauty queen, the criminal, the athlete, and the outcast. Very, very The Breakfast Club. But each of the characters has their own secrets. They each have their own quirks. Find out as you go along. And it is available on Overdrive as an audio and on ebook. And I also want to throw out a similar title if you like this one. I just finished reading A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson. Because it's brand new, I don't think it's on audio or ebook yet. But it's in our collection. A really great mystery. Really recommend this one. A girl who starts investigating a murder in her town as her senior project and finds out that there's lots of secrets going on that she, you know, that slowly get unveiled.
I feel like I'm a broken record right now, but I listened to the audiobook for One of Us is Lying, and it was very good. I feel like a good audiobook is also another way to make YA literature accessible for adults. I listen to it a lot in the car, not right now because I'm not going anywhere, but when we are working in the library, it makes the commute go by way faster, and it's also just a good way to get into some of those books because a lot of the time, like Polina was saying, they're alternating perspectives and they'll have more than one narrator, which it almost makes it feel like you're listening to a TV show or something. And this one is definitely very dramatic, Andrew, and it reminded me a lot of Pretty Little Liars, which I loved in high school.
I still like Pretty Little Liars sometimes.
It's okay, yeah. Fun.
Yeah, it's high drama.
I mean, who doesn't love a drama-laden teen adventure where somebody dies? Like, honestly.
And there was also a sequel. Is it a sequel or is it a companion?
Oh, One of Us is Next?
Yes, One of Us is Next. Yep. Recently came out. So I feel like that one, there's more to come.
That one's available on Overdrives in both audio and ebook.
She did write a companion to One of Us is Lying. Two Can Keep a Secret is the name of that one. Different characters, but same kind of feel. Do we have any more that we want to say before we move on? Okay. So the next one I'm going to talk about is called With the Fire on High. It's written by Elizabeth Acevedo. She's the author of the amazing, incredible award winner, The Poet X. It won the Michael Prince Award, which is a highly, highly lauded teen book award. This one I experienced for the first time on audio. She reads the audio, which is incredible, really a treat. The book is available on audio on Overdrive and on Hoopla. I really think that adults would absolutely love this one. It follows a teenage chef named Amani, who is faced with the challenge of raising money for her culinary art class at her high school. What really keeps the plot going is that Amani is such an interesting character to follow. She's a single mom, a very strong young lady. She also has some flaws, and it's really fun to watch her figure herself out and kind of navigate how she can work with her classmates to raise money. It's just a really fun experience. I really liked it. Amazing on audio. And you also are following the story about a teenage chef, and there's a lot of discussion of flavor. And when she cooks, she talks about the way that the air smells, deals with the senses, and the way that she experiences food. You get that, and it's a lot of fun. And if you like this one, you can naturally make a segue into reading The Poet X. Once you pick it up, once you read it, you'll immediately see why it's an award winner. She's really an incredible author. Anything you guys want to say?
I know you can't see it, but I want people who are listening right now to know that it is an absolutely gorgeous cover.
It is. It really is.
I think one thing about With Fire and High that would really appeal to adults is the family dynamic of it. She lives with her grandmother and then also her own daughter. So I think that family dynamic piece would really appeal to a lot of adults. And also, if you listen to the audiobook while you're cooking, it's a good idea because it makes you really hungry. Like food, ready to go. Thanks so much for listening to us talk, maybe too long, that's okay, about all of our favorite young adult books. We hope that you can check some of them out, and we are always, as you heard, super excited to talk about them with you. So if you would like more suggestions, go ahead and give the library a call at 603-427-1540. And be sure to check out Hoopla and Libby for lots of downloadable books.